Are you insane?
They are insane!
You're in the hands of an adolescent.
It is a cellular peptide cake.
Inaccurate.
But Met Frosting.
It does like you.
How you doing, Mike?
That man is bereft of passion and imagination.
Mr. Kim.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
Let the lesson begin.
The carving is up like a roast.
I hit a wall, I never felt so low, so low. Like a waterfall, my tears dropped to the floor, the floor. They left a swimming pool, assaulted crimes, crimes.
All right.
I hit a wall, I never felt so low.
Are we ready?
I believe so.
Good, because now we are recording. Now we are live.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. We're back from our long journey into the nebula. We've returned. I'm Mike.
Fixed
McCaffrey.
Our sound problems.
We fixed our sound problem. I fixed it. I am the Simon Pegg of this. No, Jason fixed it. Jason fixed my computer.
I run Bartertown.
Yes, you run Bartertown. All right, so I'm Mike McCaffrey.
I'm Kim Miller.
And I'm Jason McCarris.
He's returned. Jason has returned
here
from his pizza party, which we derived from.
Pizza party?
It's like 3 weeks ago.
It's an endless pizza party from like 4 months ago.
Yes. So it's really the last time I recorded.
Finally has stopped watching the Han Solo movie trailer on endless loop.
Man, I don't know about that, Jason.
It's going to be fun. I haven't even seen it once.
It's gonna be fun. What a retread there. What a refortification of, you know, oh, it's gonna be fun. It's not gonna be fun. It's gonna be bad.
It's gonna be fun.
What's wrong with that?
It is.
So
it
seems
like it's gonna be fun. Well, like if you're like, oh my god, I can't wait to see this. This is gonna be the best movie ever. Instead, it's gonna be fun. See, like that's like a like.
If he said that, you jump all over.
They come out once a year. It can't be the best movie ever every year.
Well, this one will prove that. This will not be the best Star Wars movie. I believe, here's my thought process on this.
Pre-review.
My pre-review, which is most of the time right, is that what they're doing here is because we have not heard anything about Solo for so long that they are managing expectations by sort of dropping it on us at the last possible moment. So, I mean, we're 6 weeks out and we're just finally getting like a proper second trailer. So, I think this is doomed.
Clearly doomed.
Solo is doomed.
Has nothing to do with, you know, changing directors halfway through.
Well, I mean, that just builds my case. I mean,
your case.
Yeah.
There's been disaster written all over this movie for like 2 years, but finally your case today, you've proven it.
my case is the strongest case. Now it's all, I gave them some wide latitude, but now, you know, not even Ron Howard, not even Clint Howard can save this production.
Oh, Clint Howard.
Oh, is Clint Howard in it?
Oh, yeah. He's going to be in it.
If he is in it, isn't he?
Yeah. At first he said he wasn't going to be in it, and then because it was in London, and apparently he's in it now. So
we'll get him in London. What does that mean? Is he like,
after reshoots in Los Angeles, probably, most likely.
If he weren't in it, it would be weird, I suppose.
Yeah.
Can he not travel to London? What's going on here? I mean, is he?
I don't know. Disney was like down for paying for Clint Howard to fly to London first class.
Can we? Did they?
Budget for it.
We can't afford it. I'm so sorry, Ron. We are really leveraged deep on them. So we got theme parks to run. I mean, yeah. Jesus, we're not going to fly your brother over.
Who do you think is going to be working at the theme park?
Let me just say this, plan, Ron. Do you want those three extra aliens in the background, or do you want your brother there? That's all I'm saying, man. If you want Joe Bogogs and Clu Snafu and General Skiyaka, then you don't get it.
Those are all the people playing, you know, gambling with Lando Calrissian at the table.
Exactly. There's all those weirdos who are, you know, that they're just like populate now because like these dog whistle type of characters that they have to put in.
Like an elephant snout and rabbit ears or some crazy.
Yeah, because those guys weren't in the, because Hammerhead wasn't in the cantina. Hammerhead and Walrus Man.
Well, I know, I get that, but that was like 30 years ago. I mean, like, move on. Find a new universe instead of like, oh, this looks just like the Star Wars cantina. No, let's go. I mean, why, like, the one
nice sure, they about did the that. Movie, it was called Canto Bite. I just want to talk about Star Trek.
Damn it. He did it to us again.
I know. This is why we don't have Jason on the show anymore.
I hit a wall.
All right, so let me set the stage here. I feel like for the people who are still remaining on after we've been away, and we apologize for being away, who are still listening to this podcast, like the Jims and the Dougs and the Zachs.
That's it.
And the Marias, those four who may replace us at any point in time. You have the complete authority. But here's the story. So my son has started a relentless campaign to watch all the Star Treks, and he's about like 40% through, I think, or 30%.
He's done far better than myself.
Yes, I know. You, like, that campaign for us has withered. But my son,
the original series, but Kiernan has gotten through like four.
Well, I know. Well, he has like a percentage. He's like, I'm 20% of the way through on Enterprise, 35% on TNG.
Charts and graphs. Yeah,
and now he's watching all these convention videos. Loves watching them.
Wow.
Like the panel interview. Just the panel thing.
Yeah, like when Patrick Stewart is in, you know, like Berlin or something for some convention.
And he's still, those are so boring.
I know they are. I know they're so boring. He loves it. He's like, Dad, I've watched so many of those. Like, oh my God. And then he actually said, his mother, my wife, Sarah, he said, I think I know more about Star Trek than Dad. And I was like,
oh. Grounded.
Very glad I did not hear that. jettison. But here's the point of all this story. So he watched all the Next Generation movies, and I've kind of barred him from watching Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan. But
why?
Well, because I want to watch it with him. So this is a special experience. So
I think they're showing it here in town, by the way.
We'll really?
Talk about that later. Yeah.
Oh,
I saw it at the Vista at some point. You know, they do their movie replay films. I saw something about it, but we'll look that up later.
Yeah, we'll look it up right now.
You continue and I will look it up.
All right, well, you look it up. Yeah. So for some reason, Star Trek Beyond was on Amazon Prime. And, you know, I sort of enjoy the beginning of that, like that kind of malaise they're going through over a long trip. And I was like, oh, this is kind of actually pretty good. So we sort of watched the beginning, and then Kieran was like, I want to watch the whole thing. So we watched the whole thing. And his opinion was really interesting because he said the exact same thing I said, which is that they should have ended it right when the Enterprise came, or the Franklin, came out of the water and smashed into crawl ship. And I was like, yes. Oh, good, good. So you realize that all that nonsense on the Yorktown where they're running through like elevators and like flying through the air with glass and stuff, that was ridiculous.
Zero gravity stuff.
The zero gravity nonsense. So we watched all that. And then as the credits were playing, I had forgotten that there was a song, that there was a pop song. Tim, you were just playing it a second ago.
Yes. You mean this?
Yes.
Long intro.
Because we are all dying over here. All right. Oh. You don't have to turn it off. Just turn it down. Yeah. Okay, that's good. Stop.
I'm turning it down.
Piano key will forever pierce our brains.
Really?
What if we just played one piano key over and over again? but then I realized, like, I hadn't really paid a lot of attention to this song. So I started listening to it. And then there's a music video. And I was like, oh my God. And I watched Rihanna, a person who I don't really know that much about. Rihanna. And the video baffled me. And so I thought, let's go ahead and do a full podcast on this 3-minute and 58-second song and just pull it apart, because I believe it may be canon. I'm not sure. So might be.
You suggested this at first. I'm like, you're not serious. Really? I mean, what are we going to talk about beyond? This is ridiculous. So that's just crazy. Did you see that? That's nuts. But apparently, there's much to mine there.
I know it's kind of consumed me. It's kind of made me insane with this. Like I listen to it all the time in the car because it's so all over the place, and that thrills me and confuses me. And it's the only like real pop song that's ever been like played in a Star Trek movie. So we're going to go into it. So, what's that?
I suppose so.
Yeah.
I can't think of any others.
So let's go
Other
through
than,
our reactions.
Beastie Boys, of course.
Oh, that's true. Well, that's true. But not written or ostensibly written for, for a movie. It's not like an end credits soundtrack song. Mm-hmm.
It's not Skyfall either.
And yet, it sounds just like Skyfall. It is very similar to Skyfall. Yeah. Like, the more I listen to it, this is like the poor man's Skyfall. I hit a Skyfall. All right, so let's get some rapid reactions first. Let's just kind of break this down. Kim, you've listened to the song. You've watched the video, right?
Yes.
Okay, what do you think?
It's growing on me. The first time I heard it in the theater, it's kind of like, huh, that's weird, Rihanna.
Yeah.
But it's not bad.
Okay.
I'm not like going, oh, it's terrible. Like when Duran Duran did a, what was it? What did they do?
View to a Kill?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, thank God. View to a Kill. It was a great song. Yeah.
Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. But some pop singer singing along with some end credits of a Bond film. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the Bond film thing. It's all right. All right, Jason. What do you think about it? Like musically, let's tackle it.
I think it's the same song you hear in the end credits of almost every movie from like the 90s.
No, usually it's like some lame rap or something.
I mean, like the end of Godzilla with Matthew Broderick, where he was doing his sample of Led Zeppelin.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, that's boy. We were really deep cutting on that, you know?
You have to post that. I don't remember You're that at all.
Oh, yeah.
The Matthew Broderick version, too. My God.
My end credits songs.
Kim sounded really old. It's like, they just have a lame rap song on it. No specifics about it.
Not a good
one. Well, as teased earlier, it is kind of like Rihanna wanted to make kind of a her own Skyfall song. Now, this is the interesting thing too, is that the lyrics, like, so I started to break this whole thing down. I started like, okay, so it is kind of like this kind of, I like it's kind of in a little bit of a like a minor key kind of feel to it. I guess it's like a D to a B flat to a C chord, like, but that's actually not minor key. It has a minor key flavor to it, and kind of a wistful flavor. It's like, oh, this is really kind of nice. And then I started getting the lyrics, and the lyrics make no sense.
What do you mean, swimming pool of salted crimes?
Hey, who left a swimming pool of salted crimes?
Who's going to solve all these salted crimes? I think
who's going to clean up this pool of salted crimes?
It reminds me, funny enough, when you mentioned musically, it sounds a lot like Alanis Morissette did a song from City of Angels. Do you remember that in the 90s? It sounds a lot like that now that I think of it.
Jeez, you're the Paul Schaefer.
We'll have to figure that one out.
Movie songs.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, so I started looking at these lyrics because I wanted to apply them. Because like Skyfall is pretty like spot on, right? I mean, at least from an abstract sense, like the word Skyfall is actually in it. This doesn't have the word beyond in it. Like the song's called Sledgehammer. There are no sledgehammers in this show. Like Crawl's not nicknamed Sledgehammer, you know. Like,
although she does mention Solo a couple of times, so I got confused there for a second.
You stop that right now, Jason. You back off.
Solo.
I give you
about this new movie.
I gave you like a good 6 minutes of uninterrupted Solo plugging. You can't go back on that.
Oh, Solo, you fool.
Solo. Oh, she finally got the joke.
Yeah. Well, no, that's what I thought too when I heard Solo. I was like, oh, Jason's going to love this song. I knew you were going to love that. Fell right into my trap. You're my first catch of the day. All right, so what was I going to say? Oh, so like, first of all, I want to judge this, as we've kind of implied earlier, on probably the best, the most pertinent movie theme songs ever, which are Tina Turner's Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome songs.
The best.
They're the best. They're absolutely the best because they're not even like, they don't even like have any sort of like metaphor, you know, about like Skyfall is kind of about love, but let the sky fall, let my love fall, whatever it is. But like One of the Living and We Don't Need Another Hero almost directly talk about what's going on in the movie.
Yeah.
What's the opening lines for One of the Living?
Oh, God.
The desert sun, every step that
you take, your final one.
See, right there. Like, I mean,
that is the best song ever.
It's really good. And We Don't Need Another Hero is pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Because then, like thematically, they bring in the kids at the end of the song and the movie.
The choir.
Yeah. Those little kids sitting in that fuselage of that plane.
they pretty much wrap up the whole movie in that first paragraph. I'm looking at the lyrics for We Don't Need Another Hero. It's kind of a synopsis of the whole theme of the whole movie.
And all they want is what, Kim?
Life beyond Thunderdome.
So the lyrics contain the title of the movie. This is like Tina Turner was like a genius. And I don't know why she didn't make like 5 more Thunderdome films.
Or any other film. She was really good at that.
I know. She was really good.
That's true. She has a great voice. She looks cool.
Yeah, she was great. We had a little bit of a sidetrack onto like Mad Max when we. It's a long story. It doesn't matter. All right, because we really need to talk about this.
We already talked about our experience at Tom Gum.
Tom Gum, yeah.
Previously,
we talked about that, so you all know about that. But there was definitely a sidetrack onto One of the Living, and We Need Another Hero that night. So that's the gold standard. Can you? Will you read a little bit of the Sledgehammer lyrics?
A little bit from the beginning.
Ooh, I don't care.
In a while, never felt so low, not Han Solo. Like a waterfall, my tears dropped to the floor. The floor! They left a swimming pool of salted crimes. Oh, what could I do to change your mind? Nothing.
Salted crime.
Oh my God. Things go out of control. Now the chorus is, I'm bracing for the pain. I'm letting go. I'm using all my strength to get out of this hole. I hit a wall. I thought that I would hurt myself. Oh, I was sure your words would leave me unconscious and lying on the floor. I'd be lying cold, lifeless, but I hit a wall. I hit them all. Watch them fall. You're just another brick and I'm a sledgehammer.
I thought you were going to say, I'm just another brick in the wall, but nope.
Well, I mean, these lyrics lead a lot to be like desired for. I got to be honest. It's, you're just another brick and I'm a sledgehammer. I tried to understand what those meant in the first place. Like, wait, you hit a wall and then you're falling down. Oh, you are the hammer, but why are you upset? So you're crushing your boyfriend. Okay.
Putting a lot of thought into this.
Oh, I have. So I tried to apply these lyrics to what was going on in Star Trek Beyond, then later on to Star Trek in general, and it made no sense
to hear this.
Well, there's nothing. There's nothing to it. Like there's nothing in the plot of Beyond.
I thought you had some sort of deeper analysis that you looked into this and figured something out.
I tried to apply it. I'm like, okay, I'm like, okay, maybe Kirk is hitting the wall. He's hitting the wall. He's feeling so low, and then like a waterfall, my tears drop to the floor. They left. Swimming pool of salted crap. No, this isn't about Kirk.
You're like, wait a minute, I just missed my exit. What am I doing?
And then I tried to apply it to crawl. I hit a crawl. I hit a crawl. Let the sky crawl. Oh my God. So I hit a wall. I never felt so low. Maybe that's okay. Like a waterfall, my tears dropped to the floor. But then there's still the swimming pool of salted crimes. I mean, maybe salted crimes. Salted. I'm bracing for the pain. See, none of it, like no character, no plot point applies to these lyrics. So then I dug a little deeper into the song.
Okay.
And discovered that this song was actually written in 2014.
Oh.
By Rihanna and Sia. One other person. And so when they came calling, when they call,
yeah.
for the song, for a song, I think Rihanna's just like, oh, how about this one? And they're like, perfect.
It sounds about right.
So it was just kind of like a drop in. And then Rihanna was on record saying, oh, I've been a big fan of Star Trek since I was a kid. I'm like, all right, well, then write a song about it. You know, I mean, you know,
write a song about it.
Well, I always felt like that was like a weird marketing ploy. You know, like everyone, oh, I was a huge fan since I was a kid of Project X, you know.
With Matthew Broderick again? Project X.
Oh, you two are both so old. Now I'm going to call you both Project X. What the hell? I mean, Generation X talks about Project X. My God. Or approaching the wall. Oh, my God. All right, so
we move past the music and the lyrical content to get to the video, because I think the video actually does have something to do with Star Trek.
Yes, maybe, yes. Because after I did all that, I went to the video, and the video is equally baffling.
It is.
So Kim set us up. Tell us how we start off. I'll do it then.
God's eye.
Yes. So we're flying through space. Past like galaxies, and there's lightning. There's lightning in space.
Mm-hmm. Knows that.
Yeah, and then I'm trying to.
You notice after the lightning, her face shows up, and there's like prisms, and the prisms are sort of in the color of the Star Trek The Motion Picture poster. Did you notice?
Oh,
you mean like the shafts of light?
Yes. Yes, the shafts of light that are coming down. There's kind of like those rainbow colors in the.
Yeah,
that was kind of cool. Now this. What's
and then happening? The Enterprise shows up.
And then the Enterprise shows up. And this is the Enterprise 1701. No dash A.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I stopped it and looked at it a couple of times, and both in the beginning and the end. So this is pre-Beyond. This all happens pre-Beyond.
Oh, much like the song.
Yes. Yes. This is not Beyond. This is former. So the Enterprise is zooming off, and then this face appears, which evidently no one on the Enterprise manages to see. They got windows that like point right outside.
It's Rihanna's face. Can you get tell because she's got those weird markings, whatever, face paint or tattoos or whatever those are.
Yeah. So like they kind of like zoom
out.
Oh, can you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll turn that down. Then they
see. Oh gosh, I missed her face. I've only been watching it on my phone, so that's probably why.
See, like you're like, oh, we won't have anything to talk about. There's so much.
Well, I forgot how you nerd granularity.
Yes,
granularity.
Well, because
I always forget about Jason's flawless Homer Simpson impression.
It's been away for so long.
Salt and crimes.
All right, so I'm going to keep this going, you guys, because I mean, we can't get distracted. All right, so we go to a planet which has a busted moon,
right?
Like something has just like smashed through it, and then we zoom into that planet, and I don't. This is like some sort of national park, but it's like a desert.
Yeah, it looks like the music video version of Vasquez Rocks.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, it is. Like, and I don't know why they just didn't go to Vasquez Rocks and shit. Yeah. It'd be a perfect setting, but it's these weird, like, dirt spires that she is sitting around.
Yeah.
And we find dirt spires.
Yeah. Like rocks, they're dirt spires.
Well, I'm trying to give the people here a visual image because they'll never watch this video. There's no way they can watch it.
I don't know how they couldn't after listening to this.
You gotta share it on your page now.
Yeah.
Oh, of course we will. Of course we will. So we pan in, we zoom in to Rihanna sitting by one of these large dirt towers. And she's singing about hitting a wall. It's so low. She's wearing a beautiful red flowing outfit. What would you call that, Kim?
Oh, kind of sorry like type.
Orange bedsheet.
Yeah, if you can't come up with it, Kim, it's a bedsheet. All right,
an orange bedsheet.
An orange bedsheet.
Like a wrapped sari kind of style.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. It does have a little bit of that style.
But it's beautiful. It's flowing, and we kind of get this long shot of her. We pan in, and then on second 42, if you can all zoom over there, mm-hmm. we get our first hint of where we're at.
42.
Like on second 42 and beyond.
Okay.
Do you see what's in the background there, Kim? Yeah, the
What is the crystal ball thingy? Is that the planet? Is it the place from the movie?
Yes, that's the Yorktown.
Yorktown.
Yeah, the Yorktown from beyond. So she is on a planet which is right next to the Yorktown, which I don't think there was one in the movie. But that doesn't matter.
I didn't see that.
So these events are happening as the Enterprise is zooming towards the Yorktown. And Rihanna is on a planet, which the moon has been destroyed.
Wow.
And she's right out there.
This may actually be canon, like you were talking about.
I know. See, look at this.
I doubted you, but I shouldn't
have. Separate storyline.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And if you know, she's got that weird face paint on, which sort of looks like J-Law's like face paint kind of stuff.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I don't know if she's
like that was paint. I thought that was just her markings, her natural markings.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, this could be too. Markings. I mean,
like on Rihanna has a character.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, these might be tattoos. So I feel like they're trying to make some sort of an analysis or analogy to this.
They almost look, especially the one on her forehead, looks like it's writing some sort of symbols, like it's in some sort of communication. It's across at about 48. You get a nice big close up of it all.
Yeah, I don't think it's Klingon, Cam. I think it's a little too it's a little too thin.
Cuneiform Sumerian.
Yes, Sumerian. She's an ancient Sumerian god. Although that's
be some crazy priestess or something.
Yeah, she's got wonderful little arm bracelets on, and she's kind of like she's got rings on, and she's singing. So we're moving on, and then she looks at the camera as someone else sings this pre-chorus. So she is definitely omnipotent in some degree because she's aware of our existence. She's looking right at us. And someone else is like another version of her singing, but we'll get to that later on. I'm just going to describe this video and give you my analysis, and you guys will commentary on it because I've got this all figured out.
So, and then we see in the background again, there's that kind of, is that the moon? Because it's kind of, there's this busted.
Yes.
Okay.
So the moon is busted up. So this planet has both the moon and the Yorktown like circling around it. I don't know what happened. I don't know why the people of Yorktown aren't flipping out because that moon's been destroyed.
And the moon didn't explode or anything. It just had like a bite taken out of it, and the bite is floating out in front of it.
Yeah, and again, I'm a little. First of all, there's many moons floating all over the place.
We're looking at like 112 or so, 110.
104 is what I'm looking at.
Well, 104, there's a moon there, but if you look at actually one. Like 108 to 112, there's another moon, like on the reverse shot, which that's the busted moon.
Yeah, it's the same one, right? Just a reverse angle?
I don't think so.
Because, I mean, it looks like the same chunk coming out of it.
I don't know. It feels like if we're doing the kind of like, you know, don't break the circle thing and filming.
Right.
It seems like they're filming over her right shoulder, and then they're filming kind of opposite. So,
yeah.
Break the circle.
Yeah, don't break the circle. So as you're filming in a movie, you imagine like there's a piece, like there's a pie tin, and half of it has delicious pizza. And you place your characters on one side of it, and you never put the camera on the pizza side. You always keep it on the eaten side when you're filming two characters. Right. This doesn't make any sense. Don't listen to me. Anyway.
Started on the pie and went to pizza.
Pizza pie. All right, so there may be multiple moons. There may be one. But around like the 1:09 mark, we have a major startling development.
The bees.
Is that what they are?
Yes. Those are the drones from the planet that Krall had. The drones or bees, these drone bees, that Jayla called them, those weird drone ships that attack the Enterprise.
It's been a little while since I've watched it. Forgot about the bees.
Yeah. So Rihanna is summoning them, it looks like.
Oh.
Do something. Now, here's
So are you saying when they show up in the movie, it's Rihanna that sent them?
No. This is where it becomes confusing. Now, first of all, those ships, like, to scale are way off.
Yeah.
I mean, they're super tiny. Like, they're going around her arms, basically.
Yeah.
So
she's huge.
That was my thought, Kim. Yes. You don't joke about that. We don't have a lot of scale here. Rihanna may be gigantic. And she has summoned these space bees, these drone bees to fly at the Yorktown. Now she summons them. And then, like, as we're watching, let's see, do they go towards it? Like, they fly, like around the 1 minute, 16 second mark, they're flying towards the Yorktown, man. And then they're actually flying away from the Yorktown. Mm. And then it looks like they're flying back to the Yorktown. So it's confusing. So she's summoning all these ships.
Mm-hmm. For the bees don't know anything about the pizza. Let's put it that way.
No, the bees don't know about the pizza.
Where is the pizza?
We're not going to talk about the pizza. The pizza's done. Because
of the party, the pizza party, it's over.
Yeah, the pizza party. Yeah, I know. You're
it's never over.
Never in my heart.
Well, here's something else I'm going to bring up to you about the pizza party. There may be multiple timelines with pizza parties.
What?
Because around the 130 or 140 mark in this song, we see alternate realities of Rihanna. She's making this kind of like prism kind of effect.
Oh, yeah, I see it. Yeah.
Yes.
And I believe she's conjuring up different realities of herself. Like, I know that could just be a camera effect, but in my mind, because certainly she's doing all sorts of stuff, because she turned off the lights like a second later.
Well, maybe one of the other reality Rihannas was the one singing when she stopped singing.
That's what I think. This is what I see.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm really going down the wormhole on this one. I'm very excited about this.
Then around the 2 minute mark, she does something that Jason would probably appreciate. It looks very forced, like.
Yes, yes. This is like your solo moment, Jason. Now she's sitting with a bunch of dandelions and like desert flowers. It looks like, and I haven't been able to figure out whether those are actually gigantic flowers or if she's like reduced her size.
She has that power.
She has that power because she's making like the dirt kind of like float up, and then the rocks.
That now, is at 210. The moon is still behind her, but it is a completely different angle again.
Yes,
that moon, the top left chunk.
They just had these assets, these digital assets, which was given by Paramount, and they just plugged them in wherever they wanted to, man. Because
I see what you mean.
The moon is one place, and then it's another.
That's her creating her weird realities and weird perspective.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. But look,
the moon starts commanding the dirt, and the dirt starts dancing.
But look at also she is definitely doing the Star Wars thing, Jason. She's definitely like
what Star Wars thing are you talking about?
She's making rocks.
Oh, you mean the Force? Yeah, she's using the
every
Force.
Every Jedi can make rocks flow, and then she's got a little Force lightning going on there at the 2 minute like 26 mark.
Oh yeah, that's like the Emperor.
Yeah, and then like the 2 minute and 2 minute and the 30 second mark, she makes some sort of weird like gas cloud, which like has no like no one makes gas clouds. I don't know what she's doing there. So, and it was a bad idea on her part. So.
And she makes lens flares, which J.J. Abrams would be very happy about.
Yeah, she does. But now she's getting irritated. She's getting like she's conjuring all these things. She's making rocks float. She's like doing this stuff. And then around the 2 minute, like 30 second mark, when the lights are out, she gets so angry, she punches the ground.
And creates the poster for the first film.
Yeah, I know. She does. Yeah, those little lens flares. And then she creates a little planet here. You guys see that planet on 244?
Yes. Ooh.
Kind of a gas giant.
I was wondering about that. Is she creates a planet, or is that what the original moon before it blew up?
That's a really good question. I don't know. My feeling is
she runs her hands through it
and disturbs the cloud cover.
Yeah.
So at this point in time, as I'm going through this, I'm thinking she may be a Trelane or a Q.
And then,
so powerful.
And then, with your other theory about the multiple dimension Rihannas, they start appearing all over the place.
See. Now, this could be that little weird, like, holograph thing that Jayla had.
Oh, right. Exactly.
But the powers we've seen her use, I'm inclined to believe what you're saying, Jason, that she was a powerful deity.
Yeah. Hey, well, you did a whole episode about the gods of Star Trek. She could be one of them.
Oh, I know. This is the addendum. This is it.
This is the only addendum you're going to get.
So then she basically, she kind of does some weird kind of Indian dance things with her hands.
But she starts like spazzing out too. Like she's having a seizure while that's going on.
Well, it was a long shoot. I think that's just Rihanna, like actually tired. I think she's just like, I'm just gonna do some shit and like go roll the cameras. Good. And they're like, great, okay, we'll put that in there.
Yeah.
But then she sort of kind of reverts back to sort of an energy form.
Right. She kind of goes out into the cosmos.
Well, she goes into the planet and then goes to the cosmos, which is kind of like a weird way of doing it. Her face reappears.
Right. Kind of like from the beginning.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. With the light.
As the, and this is still the 1701, not A. So, so they are slowly moving towards her. And then we have this nice kind of like side shot of them going towards her face. And,
you must have thought of the Planet Killer when you saw that.
No, I didn't. I mean, I guess, yeah, like, I mean, I know what you mean, because, like, the Planet Killer, the Doomsday Machine, has that kind of, like, side shot. I still know more than my son about this stuff. but I was more focused on, like, what is she doing to the Enterprise? What's going to happen? Is she angry at the Enterprise?
Well, the Enterprise is heading, right towards her face.
Right.
In the last shot.
And she seems very expectant about that.
Mm-hmm.
And is she pleased or like what? Like, as I kept on spooling this out, like, is she upset at Captain Kirk? Like, maybe that's it. Maybe Rihanna was a space goddess who was jilted by Kirk on one of the missions. And like, he didn't realize how powerful she was. And she threw a fit. And then as they're going to Yorktown, she's like going to like screw with him.
I think you're onto something.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
That's the only thing I can think of.
You have a beautiful mind.
And all these plot episodes just float in front of me, and I see things where they exist.
Images on the wall behind you.
And of course, one of the two of you, or maybe both of you, don't exist. You're one of the two of you is a Paul Bettany, basically, like floating around.
You've written all these equations on the windows. It's all Paul just Bettany.
Paul Bettany in the Star Wars trailer.
Oh
no! What part is he? Is he like the robot or something? What is he?
No, he is the gangster who like sends him on the mission.
Riptap Choclog.
Did you watch it yet? Have you seen it?
I did watch it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he's in it. There's right, close up his face, but you probably didn't know it was him. He was recast.
Choclog. He was recast.
He was the recasting because it was Michael. I'm blanking out his name from
McCaffrey.
That would have been a story.
Oh, Fassbender. I love him.
Yes, Michael Fassbender. No, the guy from The Wire who played Omar, who's great. He shot all his stuff. And then, of course, when they replaced directors, he was unavailable. And Ron Howard pulled in Paul Bettany because they've done like 8 movies together. Anyway,
I'm doing air quotes for unavailable. I'm like, they just didn't want him.
No, he was very... He talked a lot about it. He's done a lot of press and been like, I'm really bummed out that I'm not in it because it's a great character and blah, blah, blah. But
oh, all right.
Yeah. When does that open?
Who cares? March
5th.
why are we bookending this with Han Solo garbage?
Because Rihanna is doing the end credit song for Han Solo.
I think see, here's the thing is like that movie with Rihanna as a jilted like goddess lover against like the Enterprise. Yeah. That's the movie I want to see.
Wasn't she in Battleship?
She was.
Yes, she was in Battleship.
Oh my God.
I don't know if I ever told you this story. I was working in post-production before Battleship came out, and I was seeing the dailies, and we were, I had signed, non-disclosures and couldn't talk about it, but I saw all these guys in like green suits that were going to be, eliminated for CGI aliens. So I knew there were aliens in this Battleship movie before anyone else. I was like, oh, have you not watched it? It's a giant alien invasion movie. And it's
about a board game.
That's what everybody expected until the aliens showed up.
I know they're aliens.
Kicked ass against the aliens.
Well,
she really didn't.
She had a wall.
She had a wall. Don't do movies about games. That's my coded message there to everyone.
Not so coded.
How is that James coded? He said it pretty clearly.
Maybe the code is he means make movies about games.
Make movies about games. What happened?
Mike might be writing a movie about a game of sorts right now.
Oh, my God. That's one of the reasons why I haven't been around. But this was good. This was the perfect podcast that we needed. There were some other here's a little bit of information that we kind of missed. We kind of skipped over. They released like a little bonus deleted scene of the Discovery season. Did you guys watch that?
No. Wasn't aware.
It was a little coda tag, which just was ridiculous. Where Emperor Georgiou is on the planet on the Klingon homeworld. And it's like 6 months later, and she set up like a brothel herself. So she's like, I don't know, like, holy crap, what the hell's going on? And this guy comes in dressed in all black, and he's like, oh, it took a long time to find you. And she's like, I'm not interested. And he's like, well, you know, you could, you know, the Federation needs you. We could use you. You're a woman of your talents. And then he kind of opens up like this, this little box that has a black Federation, yeah, black badge like we'd seen before, and she takes it and he's like, welcome to Section 31 or something like that.
That's exactly what he says, apparently.
Yeah, and Section 31 is this kind of covert
secret organization
that does not
follow the rules of Starfleet but uses its network of spies and saboteurs to advance the Federation's agenda.
Yes, so it was a little tag which they omitted, and I'm kind of okay with that. I have very mixed feelings about Section 31.
So they introduced that in Deep Space Nine, it says here.
Yes, they did. They introduced it in Deep Space Nine. And so it really didn't exist in canon in the original series or in TNG. And then Deep Space Nine, they leaned into it pretty heavily. And then I think
it was in Into Darkness and Enterprise, it says.
Really?
They were later.
Yeah, it was in Into Darkness a little bit. Yeah, they did throw it out there. It's like, this is a Section 130, and then Enterprise as well. I don't remember if they did it in Voyager. I don't think they did. Maybe they mentioned it, but I have very mixed feelings about Section 31. But okay, we'll save that for another episode. So that was that. Let's see. I'm trying to think if there was one more piece of news. Quentin Tarantino is still rumored to be making the movie. Simon Pegg says that there are people working on another version of the movie, but I don't know. I mean, there's some hope that now that Viacom might be rejoining with Paramount, that we'll finally be away from all this nonsense of the movies are separate from the TV shows, and we'll just link them all together again.
Oh my God, that'd be nice.
Yeah. I think. Are you flossing your teeth? What the hell are you doing?
No, you're looking at me.
We're all looking at you.
We are hearing you.
As I always tell, you can go on to our Facebook page. Yeah, I just want to talk about Star Trek page. Although
Tom Gum t-shirt.
Tom Gum t-shirt.
I just got out of the shower. My hair is wet. I have no makeup on. Don't put this
top,
out.
Top video gum version.
Well, you can see Kim just out of the shower, completely naked. You can see me with my crazy hair. See Jason all in blue, including with a blue cap.
This is true.
Blue charger cap. Turncoat. He's Section 31.
Turncoat.
Tal Shiar.
Stuck to the same team. Yet I'm a turncoat.
Now, the Tal Shiar I can get behind. I like the Tal Shiar. They're
just
okay.
Like in that episode that Deanna says Tal Shiar like 15 times.
Oh.
Per scene.
I am the Tal Shiar. That's a bad Deanna. all right. Do we have anything else we want to talk about Star Trek? No, yes, maybe.
At the moment, no.
Oh.
I'm trying to think. Oh, hey, if you're still listening, are you going to go to the convention? Are you going to go to the Star Trek convention in Vegas? Are you going to go to the Comic-Con? Let us know on the Facebook page. I'm going to go. I might go with my son. I might see if I can drag these two fools along with us.
Vegas,
yeah. Yeah. Mm. We'll get like a room, a couple of rooms. We'll go hang out there. It'll be fun. What else was I going to say? Oh, we have to, because here's the thing. I think we should do like another version of our musical stuff. Because that's good stuff.
The Star Trek convention?
Yes. I think we could do like a whole 1 hour show. I will actually rent out a room someplace, and we will like put posters up.
Big plans for this.
Oh yeah. Because Kiernan loves Data singing Blue Skies, so we can have Jason sing Blue Skies. Never saw the sun shining. Oh, yeah. It's like his ringtone. He so loves that song.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. He's so happy about that.
Well, you'll do your Joe Piscopo impression briefly.
Oh, God. He's going to be there.
Really?
Joe Piscopo is going to be there.
Really?
Yes.
Horrible episode. Horrible.
Wow.
I know. Oh, my God. So we have to go. We have to go to this.
I wasn't on board until I heard Piscopo.
No one's on board until they hear Piscopo. Yeah. We were listening to a Simpson episode. Kieran was driving, and Kieran wasn't driving. Kieran was. Hello. Huh? It's been a long day. We were watching the one with the B sharps, where they're the a cappella quartet.
Oh, yeah.
And Homer Simpson said Joe Piscopo had left Saturday Night Live to start his burgeoning career in Hollywood or something like that. It's like, wow, boy, that's still true. He went out there and never came back.
Poor guy has been the butt of jokes since 1990.
I know, but he was so good.
He was great.
Maybe we'll have, you know, maybe we'll get Frank him on the Sinatra. Podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, Frank Sinatra was so good.
Yeah.
Good Alex Trebek. He was such a good foil to Eddie Murphy at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because he could invest a little harder in the character stuff. He was good David Letterman too. Like when he was Letterman and he had Gumby on, like,
yeah.
When he had Eddie Murphy on, so great.
I had his comedy album when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. God, I never knew that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't. Was it any good?
Yeah, I used to enjoy it, but of course that was, you know, 1984. Yeah. Everything was great.
You're listening to Joe Piscopo when you're like 10 years old.
Yeah. I was obsessed.
Your little undone bow tie.
No, I was obsessed with SNL. From like the age of 8, I was obsessed with SNL.
Yeah, everyone goes through that phase and then they kind of float out. And oh, we still have to do, I still want to do our, we're going to look at all the SNL sketches of Star Trek.
Oh, okay.
And we're going to rate them and talk about them. So like I said, with these fools, I've been trying to get them to watch an episode. They can't. So I sent out some clips of Saturday Night Live episodes, which are shorter. They didn't watch that. This is the shortest thing I can get these people to sign on to do. This is Rihanna video.
Watch assignments.
Mysterious assignments that we never got.
I sent those a couple of times. I got really on board. You have to watch.
The one with Jim Belushi, John Belushi. Then it's like Jim Belushi.
We had a long text conversation about that one.
Yes, we did. Yeah, and his Kirk is so good. I won't spoil what we're going to talk about, but it's so good. He worked so hard. He worked like 3 months on it. But all right, one last little thing, or a couple of things, I guess. But Stephen Hawking passed away, which is sad, and he was one of the only people to play themselves in Star Trek.
Mm-hmm. Who else? So,
I think he actually is the only person to play himself. So I Joe Piscopo
played himself.
Apollo?
Yes, Apollo.
Abraham Lincoln.
They all played themselves. No, I think he is the only person to play himself. So,
did you know that the actor who played Abraham Lincoln refused to be addressed as anything but Mr. President, just like Daniel Day-Lewis?
What?
I made that up.
Well, I was going to say, how would you do such a weird and spiritual?
All right, we should sign off here. We've done our due diligence here, but I have also proven, Kim, though this is more than a 10-minute long podcast.
Fine.
But this was
like an hour and a half, but this was a condensed, this is a good size room.
I know it's a pretty long one, but I've hit a wall of sanity with this video, and I was very, very excited to like finally unpack it after the past like 2 weeks. So,
yeah.
Thank you for listening so much. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
They all listen so much.
Please listen so much. Please like, comment, and subscribe. Hey, leave a review on the iTunes page. Check out our Facebook page. Hit us up at Twitter at Mike McCaffrey, at Flippadip, at Jason McCarris.
Yep.
And I'm Mike McCaffrey.
I'm Kim Miller.
And I'm Jason McCarris.
And I just want to talk about...
I hit a wall!
Hello, I'm Dave Ross.
Hey, and I'm Hampton Yunt.
And we host Suicide Buddies on Starburns Audio.
That's right. It's a podcast about suicide, but not to make light of it. We actually talk about suicidal thoughts, depression, kind of with a sense of levity that Dave and I have with each other. He's my best friend. Come on.
Yeah, we're buddies. Suicide Buddies.
That's the title.
One of our favorite episodes that we've recorded so far is about this guy, Jan Pataki, who was a Polish aristocrat in the 19th century. Mm-hmm. And he, one of the reasons it's possible that he killed himself is that he thought he was a werewolf.
Oh.
Check out a clip. It also makes me think, like, we were talking about in the Norway black metal episode, how, like, just the culture of your surroundings can affect you. Like, yeah. He's in a castle in Poland. He's like, I mean, if you lived in a castle in Poland and no one knew anything about anything, you might be like, I'm a bat. I'm probably a bat.
That's like literally what happened to Batman. He literally is in his mansion. He's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm a bat.
I'm a bat. I'm a bat.
I'm a
bat that helps people.
I'm a bat that helps people.
I'm a
rich. I don't know what you want from me. And my girlfriend, she's a cat. She's a cat.
My girlfriend's a cat.
She steals things. She's a woman who steals things. She's a cat. I'm a bat.
I'm a bat. I help people. She's a cat. We fight a penguin.
My